Good morning, everyone. I'm sorry. Good morning, everyone. Last week, we started, and today we'll finish, a very interesting question that came my way about a convert to Judaism who would like to make a shehechiyonu every single year on the day that he converted. He finds this to be an auspicious day for him, and therefore he wants to make a shehechiyonu. Now, we do have a precedent in halacha to making a shehechiyonu on a date, and what precedent is that? Again, not on buying new clothing, or not on seeing a friend you haven't seen in more than 30 days, but on a date. On Yom Tov, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkos. The Gemara that we started with in Eruvin Daf Mem, at the top of your source sheet, Amud Bet, had a question about Rosh Hashanah, and came to the conclusion that even though Rosh Hashanah is not one of the Regalim, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkos, we still make a Shehechiyanu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And the question we had was why. The Gemara doesn't explain why, so everyone agrees we do. It's a date. It's a yontif. Why do we do it? On the left side of the page, we saw the Yerushalmi, the Rokeach, the Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Abiya Omer, Rav Avadya Yosef, Kulam Na'anu Himlichu Ve'amru, because it has Kiddush HaSayom, any single day, date, that has a Isurei Melacha on it, which would restrict us to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shemini Atzeret, Pesach Shavuos, you make a Shehechiyonu that once a year when it comes to that date. If it doesn't have Kiddush HaSayom, then no. And therefore, a convert cannot make a Shehechiyonu on a date if it doesn't have Kiddush HaSayom. On the other hand, we saw the opinion of Tosfos that tries to explain why certain mitzvahs get a Shehechiyonu and others don't. And he said, because certain mitzvahs give you simcha and others do not. For example, Tosfos has to deal with the question of why don't we make a Shehechiyonu on a mitzvah that comes once a year, every year, on the second night of Pesach? Which is that mitzvah? The Omer. Tosfos doesn't quote it here, but the Baal Hamor, at the tip end of Maseches Pesachim, says, because there is no simcha. You know why? With due respect to Sfira, it's terrible today. I'm not even talking about the Minhagi Avelus, the mourning practices we have during Sfira. It's awful! It's a half a mitzvah. Once upon a time you bought a Korban HaOmer and you counted the days till Shavuos. What do we got today? At best 50% of that. And according to Rov Rishonim, with the exception of the Rambam, it's a mitzvah the Rabbanim today, not a mitzvah the Oraisa, because without the Korban HaOmer, it's pretty lousy, and therefore you don't make a Shehechiyonu on HaOmer. You make a Shehechiyonu on mitzvos that bring you simcha. So if we take that to its logical conclusions, as the Bach did, we come to the conclusion that on any date that would give you simcha, perhaps you would make a Shehechiyonu. According to that, maybe our convert can make a Shehechiyonu because there's a date, and it makes him greatly and extremely and profoundly happy. Today we're just going to finish the puzzle, because there's a third point of view. We said Kiddush HaSayom, you can't drive your car. That's why you make a Shehechiyonu. On the other hand, we said anything that gives you simcha. There's a third point of view.
Just when we say happiness is the driving force. So, his team wins the Super Bowl. It's his birthday.
Exactly. I wouldn't say no. If this team won the Super Bowl, we obviously would probably make a Tova HaMeitiv, because everyone that's rooting for that team would be happy. It's not just him that's happy. But that's on a date itself, not on a date. That's on the actual occurrence that's happening right now. This is something that happens every year. In other words, it already happened. It's 5 years out. And the convert wants to make a Shehechiyonu. Now, if you look in the middle of your source sheet, you'll see the Me'iri, a very interesting Me'iri that talks about a yontiv that we're about to come up to. And I say the word yontiv very loosely, because if my two rabbeim were here, they would get extremely angry. And what Yomim Tovim am I talking about? Purim and Chanukah. On those particular days of the year, if someone went up to one of my two rabbeim, Rav Amital and Rav Luchtenstein, and said, Chag Sameach, they would inevitably answer, Hayom Inenu Chag. It's not a Chag. You could say, Chanukah Sameach, Purim Sameach, Yom Sameach, but it is not a Chag. Why isn't it a Chag? Because you're allowed to use your car. It's only a happy day. Midrabbanan, says the Me'iri. V'yeshem megagil chiyuv zman b'yom mitzad acher. We make a Shehechiyonu on Purim, says the Me'iri in Maseches Megillah, maybe for another reason. V'hu mipnei yom tov, שלא נאמר זמן בלילה אלא על המגילה וכו', ואף על פי שבחג הסוכות יש זמן על הסוכה ועל היום טוב, ואף על פי כן זמן של לילה עולה לכל. שם הדין נותן, מאחר שגם הלילה יום טוב הוא, מה שאין כן בשמחת פורים, שהרי סעודת פורים שעשה בלילה לא יצא ידי חובתו. The Meiri comes to a very interesting conclusion, and that conclusion is that perhaps if you do not have a Megillah and you come to the holiday of Purim, you would make a She'echiyanu on the very fact that you came to a happy Derabbanan date. Echoing his words with regard to Purim, he goes in Chanukah and says, Misha enlu lahadlik, a person that has no menorah, has no candles, has no wicks, has no oil, ve'ino b'makom she'ef shadu lirot, and there's no menorah that he can make a bracha on, even if someone else lit it. Yesh omrim, there are some that say, she'mevarech la'atzmo, she'asanisim v'she'echiyanu balayla harishon, v'she'asanisim b'chol ha'leilot, v'hadverim nirin. He says, you know, they're on something here. In other words, yes, what do we usually do? We come to the holiday of Sukkot. We have to make a L'Sheichyanu on a bunch of things. What are they? On the first night of Sukkot. Let's leave out the first day of Sukkot. We got a sukkah we built. The Gemara says you have to make a L'Sheichyanu when you build a sukkah once a year, every year. On the building of the sukkah. Two. We're about to fulfill the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah, living in the sukkah. Three. It's a yontif. Sukkah starts. So when you make that She'echiyanu on the first night of Sukkot, you somehow encompass it all. Says the Meiri, when you come to Chanukah, even though it's the Rabbanan, you got to make a She'echiyanu on two things. Number one, first and foremost, you arrived at Chanukah, like you arrived at Sukkot. And number two, you're about to light the menorah. So what do we usually do? Like on Sukkot, we do them together. But if you can't do them together, says the Meiri, because you have no menorah, first night Chanukah comes, you daven Ma'ariv, you say Shas Al Anisim, and then you say She'echiyanu. On what? On the date. Too bad we don't have the mitzvah, but we have the date. The same would be true on Purim. You have no Megillah, you're on a stranded island, so you cannot fulfill that mitzvah. You would make She'echiyanu on the date itself. That's the Meiri's point of view. The Yabetz, who was the Yabetz? His father did not say, Yabetz! Get up. Rav Yaakov Emden, the son of the Chacham Tzvi. Does anyone around this table know why he's called the Chacham Tzvi? His name was Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi. So how does a Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi get the name Chacham? You usually have the name Chacham. That is what they call Sephardic Rabbanim. So how does Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi get the name Chacham?
Did he marry a Sephardi?
Usually if you marry a Sephardi, yeah. Then usually you go by the husband's customs. Again, I'm not saying in all situations, but that's usually what happens. Anyone know the story? In 1648, there were terrible massacres. What were they called? The Chmelnytsky massacres. Many people had to run away from Eastern Europe, the Shach and the Chacham Tzvi. I believe they were both living in Vilna. They had to run away. The Chacham Tzvi ended up in Amsterdam. He went to a few places, but eventually ended up in Amsterdam, and he was in a Sephardic shul. So in a Sephardic shul, an Ashkenazi rabbi, so they called him Rav Tzvi, Ashkenazi, the Ashkenazi, our rabbi, the Ashkenazi. He had a son named Rav Yaakov Emden, who's a fascinating personality. I'll just say he was the first blogger in the history of blogs. He had a printing press paid for by the government, and he used to talk against any rabbi he didn't like, because he didn't work for any shul. He can allow himself to say, I don't like this rabbi, I'm going to write a blog against him. So the Yabetz was a fascinating personality. Many of you have seen a siddur of Yaakov Emden's siddur. Many of you have heard of Rav Yaakov Emden. Rav Yaakov Emden wrote the Yabetz, and he says the following: Sharei belafachi ra'u levarech zman alayom va'av shehu medivre kabbalah bilvad. Even though it's a derabbanan day, Chanukah Purim, mikol makom, says the Yabetz, tzarich chizuk eshel Torah v'yoter mipnei tokfol shel neis v'kevan demizman lezman ka'ati harehu li'inyan ze kechol mo'adei Hashem. Rav Yaakov Emden entertains this possibility that you would say She'echiyanu on a derabbanan date. No kedushas hayom, but a special date it is. And the Pnei Yehoshua, and eventually the Bir Halacha brings it, that there are those that say, the Mishnah Brura says, that you would make it on a derabbanan date. So we have three points of view. The Gemara had a question about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Came to the conclusion you do say it. Why? According to one point of view, it has Kedushas Hayom. That would rule out Chanukah Purim in our convert. The other point of view said because it brings Simcha. There is a Simcha in a new year. There is a Simcha in Yom Kippur that you're going to get Kaparas Avonos. God will, God willing, atone for all your sins. So because of Simcha, you'd make a Shechiyanu every year on that day. So maybe our convert can. The third point of view is you only make a Shechiyanu on a Yom Tov, which can be either with Kedushas Hayom or without Kedushas Hayom. With Kedushas Hayom would be Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos. Without Kedushas Hayom, Chanukah Purim. And for the Zionists around the table, Yom Ha'atzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim. So we have two against three in our convert case. Yeah. Two against three, unfortunately. Two deos, and the Rishonim say, you only make a Shechiyanu on a date if it's special midoraisa, or you even entertain midorabbanan. But the third, there is a point of view saying a date that brings you simcha, you make a Shechiyanu.
Yeah, but this is all for Sibur, not Yachid.
Pardon?
These are all for Sibur, not for Yachid. Chanukah, Purim, all these are all dates.
Absolutely. In other words, when we come to the first two points of view, you only make it on a Yom Tov, either the Oraisa or even the Rabbana. We're talking about something that's good for everyone. It's a date that's special for everyone. So obviously, if it's only good for you because you converted on that day, it has nothing to do. All these deos would say no. But if it's a day that brings you Simcha, personally, the Bach would entertain this possibility from the Ashkenazic world and from the Sephardic world, the Birkei Yosef as well would entertain this possibility. So one second, Bruce, we can have a lot of nafkaminas out of this question. What are some of them? I wrote on the bottom of the page. Purim and Chanukah without a Chanukiah or a Megillah. Exactly what the Meiri says. If you hold, like the first point of view, it needs Kedushas Hayom, you don't make Shechiyanu on Chanukah and Purim on the date. You only make it when you do the mitzvah of lighting the candles or reading the Megillah. If, however, you say you do make a Shechiyanu on a day that either brings you Simcha or is a Derabbanan Yom Tov, then you would make a Shechiyanu on Chanukah and Purim. And, of course, if you're Zionist, you can add in Yom Ha'atzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim. There is no mitzvah, but it's a happy date. Midirabbanan. Perhaps, and therefore, you can make a Shechiyanu on the actual date. And of course, if it brings you happiness, you can make a Shechiyanu according to that point of view. If you say Kedushas Hayom, all those are out. Chanukah and Purim is out. Yom Ha'atzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim for sure. And even the date of our convert. Yes?
In terms of decision making, when you have three against two, does that mean that the three should
I don't think so. I don't think in Psak Halacha that's the way we paskin. Acharei Rabim Lehatot is a Dinda Oraisa. Rove, meaning majority, is definitely the way we paskin in a Beis Din when you have two judges against one. No question. Rove is something very important in Halacha with regard to many things. Like if you have a little bit of chicken that fell into your chocolate milk, there's an issue of Rove. At least with the Rabat Minda Oraisa, Batal Barove. When it comes to paskening halacha, I firmly believe that the way to pasken halacha is not to count heads, because, quite frankly, how many heads do you count? So the Beis Yosef had a great chiddush in paskening halacha. He said, he brought all the deos up to his time, and he said, at the end of the day, I am going to count heads. How many? Three. Who are they?
The Rambam,
the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh. Two against one, I pasken like them. That's a huge chiddush. Because how is paskening halacha usually done? You take on the one hand the halacha and all these deos. You learn the sugya. On the other hand, you take the reality, the question you asked, and you have to learn them both equally. Namely, if you don't know the halacha, don't give your point of view about the reality. And if you don't know the reality, don't give your point of view either. And therefore, when you take both of these together, you have to see how does this, namely the halacha, relate to that, the reality. And inevitably, there will be machlokas, because some rabbis will think this, and other rabbis will think that halacha will apply to this reality. I personally believe that when you paskin halacha, you have to paskin based on the case in front of you. As we find many places in halacha, en la dayan, ela mashe inav root. The dayan, who paskins, has to see the case in front of him. If he doesn't, he can't paskin. He can't hear about it. He can't be a hearsay subjective point of view. You have to paskin based on trying to make the puzzle piece fit. How does this halacha fit into this? So a convert came up to me and said, I love this date. This is the date I remember. I would like to make a shehechiyonu on that date. For me, it gives me great simcha. What should I do? So the way I paskin at the end of the day was that I said that Rov Hadeyot that I saw did not paskin like the Bach and the Birkei Yosef. In other words, when they learned this Gemara about making shehechiyonu on a date, at most they were willing to entertain a date that, as Harold said, is good for everyone, namely Chanukah Purim. They were not willing to entertain a date that's good for one person. True, there is a Bach, there is a Birkei Yosef. If someone did it, I wouldn't say he's violating halacha, it's God's name in vain. But when I learned the sugya, and you learn it again and again, you come to the conclusion that they did not contemplate a date that did not have at least a Yom Tov Derabanan to it. It has to have properties of Kedusha Sayom, or at the very minimal, properties of a Derabanan date. And therefore, what I basically paskin for this particular convert is, I would like you to make a shechiyanu, but I'm going to use an old rabbinic trick. We do this at weddings. It's a huge trick, but it's a nice trick, I always say. There is a minhag to make a shechiyanu under your chuppah, which is very problematic in my opinion, because as I said earlier, you always make a shechiyanu when something's happy, if it's happy for you only. But you're getting married to a woman, I'm hoping that it's happy for her as it is for you. So what would be the proper bracha? So what do they say? It's an ancient minhag to say shechiyanu. On the other hand, it's a little problematic because what are you making a shechiyanu on? As we say in Yiddish, on the luft, on the air.
A combination.
You're getting married. What? There. So what do? They say to the chassan, okay, put a talis on. Not just any talis. A new talis. And when you put on the new talis, have in mind all the new things in your life. Your new marriage, your new dishes, which you do make a shechiyanu on, and then you make a shechiyanu. Some don't. They don't like this trick. When I got married, I did not make a shechiyanu under my chuppah. It wasn't in the vogue then, when I got married in the year 2000. But this is the trick they use. So I said to this convert, I think every year on the date that you converted, and again, it doesn't have to be public because I don't like when they remind converts that they're converts. That's against halacha. But rather, it's a very special date for you. On that day, you can do one of two things. Buy something new, make a shechiyanu, and have in mind that you would like to make a shechiyanu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu also for this beautiful date that has a very strong meaning for you. Or I said, more importantly, what are you making a shechiyanu on? It's not that you converted, but that you joined the Jewish people. When a person converts, there's two things that are happening. If I can quote Rut, a convert, Amech ami ve'elokayich elokai. Your God is my God. Your God is my God. Personally, I have to keep Shabbos, I have to keep Yontif, I have to keep Taharat HaMishpacha, I have to keep Kashrus, I have to make a bracha before and after I eat. Personal. But Amech ami, what does that mean?
Your people and my people?
I have joined the people of Israel.
Right.
In other words, it's not just personal. This gentleman or lady is now part of Amcha Beit Yisrael, the Jewish people. You can count him for a minion. And more importantly, he's part of the Jewish community. If God forbid he would be taken captive, we wouldn't say a convert's been taken captive. We'd say a Jew. And if a Jew is taken captive, he would be as sad about it as we would. Mm-hmm. There's no difference. So I thought the more appropriate thing would be that maybe every year, on the date of your conversion, perhaps donate something to the shul that the shul needs, a kli chadash, that you'll also use. It could be the kiddush cup, you'll make kiddush on it sometimes, and perhaps you'd make a shechiyanu. Then I said, wait a minute, if it's going to be donated to the shul, it's not his, it's good for everyone, we're going back to that tov ha'meitiv question. So I definitely went back to the first, and I said, why don't you every year buy something new on that day that's good for you, whatever it might be. It could be a new thing that you make shechiyanu on, and every year we do buy new things that warrant a shechiyanu, but keep it off to that date, and go ahead and make a shechiyanu on it, and use it. And maybe then, if you would like, you can donate it to the shul. It could be a new sefer, it could be other things, and then donate it to the synagogue. And he loved that idea, and he actually, I won't go into details, he found very good thing that would be useful for him and donated later to the shul that he's part of. And everyone then will use it. But first and foremost, he used it. So it's a Shechiyanu. He's happy he'd made a Shechiyanu on a new suit, a Kli Chadash, fine. And then he donates it to the shul. You can't donate your suit to the shul, but other things you can definitely donate to the shul. And obviously, I thought that would be a beautiful thing, that every year, this is the date where I go out to the store and I buy something new. So I don't think you have to do it, but if it's important to him, I thought that would be the way to do it, just like we do under a chuppah. Yeah?
I asked the question of being authority, because we have a Rambam shir. My house Tuesday nights, Mike Fredman leads the shir. So we're doing Mishnah Torah, we're in the Hilchot Ishut, and we covered the topic of women covering the hair, and Michael wanted to bring down a position from, a former chief rabbi of Haifa, which is a very unusual position.
It's Rav Masas. It's a very known heter with regard to not covering your hair.
Yeah, he said, you should know that everyone else is against it because it's a dud yachid. And I said, well, okay, can one rely on this as well?
Here's a good question. This is exactly what we're dealing with. Look, if this gentleman would have told me, listen, I cannot buy something new every year. I don't have the money for it, whatever it is. Whatever I buy new doesn't warrant a shechiyan. It doesn't give me the happiness, whatever it might be. Like I told you last week, if a guy buys a new pair of undergarments, he's not going to make a shechiyan on a new pair of gatkes. Right? So I said, if a guy would say it's really important to me, vital, maybe I would go ahead and rely on the Bach and the Birkei Yosef and all those that say any date that brings happiness, fine. But in your case with covering hair, I have to admit, Rav Masas wrote a very important tshuva. It is a Da'at Yachid. So now, with due respect to a Da'at Yachid, what do we do with a Da'at Yachid when we pass in halacha? I always like to say you leave it in a drawer until you need it. You put it in the safe or the vault, and you take it out when needed. When might it be needed? So if a regular woman comes to me and asks me, I'm getting married, do I have to cover my hair? My answer would be yes. But if a woman comes up to me and says, I'm now 60 years old, and I'm having terrible headaches, and I went to this doctor and that doctor, and the doctors have told me it's because you cover your hair, you're not getting vitamin, whatever you get from the sun. Which vitamin is that?
D.
I'm always, that. Vitamin D. And because of that, it's causing you headaches. And because of that, you can't function. And because of that, I can go on and on and on. You're losing hair, whatever it is. In that situation, I believe I would take out Rav Masas's tshuva from the vault if there's no way that she can cover her hair on the one hand and stay healthy on the other. And again, covering your hair is not like if you don't cover your hair, there is a day that it might be the oraisa. But many, in fact, most say it's the Rabbanan today. And from this perspective, that Rav Masas's tshuva would be relevant for that lady. It would not be relevant for 99% of the Jewish people, in my opinion. But it would be relevant for that situation. So this convert, if he would say, I can't buy something new every year, or I don't have the money, or it's not me, or whatever it is, and I would definitely contemplate, maybe you do, if it's so important to you, make a shechiyanu on that day, whatever it might be. But quite frankly, when you paskin halacha, as I said earlier, you don't count heads. You try to see how does the laws that don't change apply to this new reality. And as I said, when I researched this question, I didn't find many precedents for this question. This is a new question. A convert came up with it. And there's new questions every day. You have to always ask yourself, how does this, the halacha, apply to this, the reality? And many a times you will use a dat yachid because for that particular situation, it is needed. Just like on Shabbos, there is almost an overwhelming point of view that you cannot warm up water on Shabbos. And therefore, we all have our Shabbos urns at home. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not a big secret, but whoever doesn't know it, I'll tell you the secret. Don't tell your wives. That the Rambam paskins, ein bishul achar bishul belach, which means
you can't recook once the water's hot.
Once the water was hot, it's cooked.
Right.
You can reheat it.
Right.
Now, 99% of the situation, I would say, listen, this is an Isser d'oraisa, according to many Isser bishul. I'm not taking the Rambam and saying, let's make it mainstream. But let's just say that there is someone who lost his teeth and he can no longer eat solid foods. Can't eat solid foods, so he can warm up solid foods on Shabbos morning if they're already pre-cooked. There's a certain way to warming it up. Everyone with their shita, but he can't eat solids. His onik Shabbos, down the drain. Would you allow, in that situation, for him to take out the chicken soup from the refrigerator and put it onto whatever you do to warm up food on Shabbos? Is it directly on the plata, on top of a pot, on top of an upside-down pot, whatever it is, and utilize the Rambam? We're talking about Vishal D'Oraisa, according to many. I would say, perhaps. Absolutely, perhaps. Again, not for you. I like chicken soup. You like chicken soup. Eat it at Malava Malka Motzei Shabbos. Malava Malka is a din in Shulchan Aruch, by the way. It's not just for fundraisers. So, quite frankly, use it in Malava Malka Friday night before Shabbos, put it on the blech. But if you say to me, I cannot eat solid foods. So maybe we can find cold foods, whatever, but quite frankly, cold day, hot food, Shabbos, Onik Shabbos, this gentleman is suffering terribly, and this is the way it's going to be. It's not like he's suffering for 2 weeks and he's getting an implant of teeth. That's it. Finished. I would definitely think maybe we have to take that Rambam out of the vault. At least think about it.
And this means that books that are shiles and shuvas maybe even shouldn't be learned. Because if you don't know the case specifically...
Quite the contrary. I think that when you learn halacha from Shulchan Aruch, you get the background, but you have no idea how to paskin.
Right.
Because what happens usually when you learn halacha, just halacha, without the shegels and chuvos, you come to an inevitable conclusion.
Uh-huh.
What's the conclusion? L'chumra or l'kula? Take a wild guess.
Well, l'chumra.
L'chumra. I just learned five different points of view. The most machmir point of view was X. What, I'm not going to be choshesh for X? What's the matter with X? He's a nice guy, a good Jew. He gave donations to the synagogue. He paid his membership on time. He always is there to help. He paskin l'chumra. Well, I'm not going to choshesh for him? That's what happens when you learn halacha. When you learn shelos v'tshuvos, responsive literature, you see how Rabbanim struggled throughout the generations to help Jews remain steadfast Jews on the one hand and keeping halacha on the other. And perhaps not doing what normatively we do, but allowing them to live in a halachic lifestyle by again taking the halacha and saying, how does it fit to this specific reality?
Well,
not the reality of the kehillah, not the reality of the synagogue, of the community, the reality of that specific person. And indeed, there is a danger, and that is that when you start saying, oh, if it's allowed for him, it's allowed for me. No, that's not what you should say, and you have to be very careful to say that. And I don't like when people say that, but it happens. That is the price you pay. But without learning responsive literature, in my opinion, you will never get any idea of how halacha is paskined. And I think the danger is that in that situation, people think that it's all made up from the rabbis. The rabbis make up this, make up that. Everything's arbitrary, and therefore we can throw it all away. Once you see how rabbis struggled, really struggled, they said, and even though this dayah says this, I'm going to say that. You see, wow. Just yesterday I dealt with a shayla. Maybe we'll deal with it around this table. We'll give a shir on it. A bar mitzvah boy is learning his parsha. You know what happens with bar mitzvah boys. They put the fear of the God into them. You're going to learn the parsha. You can't make one mistake. You have to lay it nicely and beautifully. Not too fast, not too slow. Because if you lay too fast, people are going to complain. You lay too slow, people are going to complain. And this bar mitzvah boy is at the height of his tension. And a week before his bar mitzvah, the rabbi says, whoops! We were off by a few days. You learned the wrong parsha. This kid, for the last year, has been whistling his parsha every night. Whoops! Can a katan lane for the tzibur? Now, in 99.9% of the situations, I would never say, absolutely do it, who cares? But there's a beautiful tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, in which this Sashaila was asked. And you see how he struggles. He struggles! And he says he thinks that he can't be matir, but shatat chaki could be somechan, the prima godim, and whatever he brings. This is a posik that struggles with the halacha fitting into the terrible reality of a bar mitzvah boy, that quite frankly, if he doesn't lane, because he's off a few days, he will be embarrassed in front of everyone, something terrible. Now they don't come along and say, matir, enjoy! They bring a tshuva, they bring sources, they explain their point of view. You see them struggle to help this Jew. Therefore, responsive literature is so important.